We are studying the book of Acts. We're going to start and we'll do a review and then we will jump right in. Let's begin and let's ask the question, who wrote the book of Acts? All right, Luke did. What was Luke's occupation? What's that? He was a physician. That's right. Now a harder question. When was the book of Acts written? 60 to 63. What you need to remember is it's approximately 30 years after the church is established. They come back and write the book of Acts. What is the book of Acts about? Okay, establishment of the church. It's also known as the book of conversions. That's right. Let's do a quick review here. All right. These are the books if you want to see them. Here is our memory chart. So let's do the first few here. Acts chapter 1 is A, 2 is B, C, D, and E. Acts chapter 1 is A. What is Acts chapter 1 about? Two words that start with A. Apostle and ascension. Jesus ascends back into heaven. And a new apostle is going to be chosen to replace who? Judas. Acts chapter 2 is B. What does the B stand for? Okay, the beginning of the church. You got the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3 is C. What does the C stand for? The crippled man. It's about the healing of the crippled man. Acts chapter 4, we haven't done 4 yet. Acts chapter 4 is the letter D. It stands for the disciples are detained. Why is that? Because of Acts chapter 3. They healed a crippled man. They end up going to jail for it. And we'll talk about that more. Acts chapter 5 is the letter E. It stands for evil companions. Who are the evil companions that we learn about in Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira, that's right. So that's the first five chapters. I have found this to be very, very helpful. And so now when somebody asks me, they mention something in the book of Acts, I know instantly what chapter it's in by learning this through the years, and it will help you. We'll go through it as we go on, and as we progress, I'll give you the whole chart if you want it. All right, we are going to move on here. Oops, I'm going the wrong way here. Let's see, the timeline of the book of Acts. We went through the baptisms last week. All right, and we're going to stop right there. All right, we are going to pick up tonight. Let me give you a summary. Here's the summary of what we've got so far. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we learn that Jesus has died. He has resurrected from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, he's gathered with his disciples. He's just about to ascend into heaven. He's talking to them. In verse number 4, he tells them, don't leave Jerusalem. I want you to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And then he tells them this, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He says, stay in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, two questions. Number one, what was the promise of the Father? Stay and wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What's the promise of the Father? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the promise of the Father. Here's the second question. Who was the baptism of the Holy Spirit promised to? The apostles. That is very, very important that we understand. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was promised to the apostles, not to everybody. Now, last week, we spent time talking about the fact that the baptism that applies to us today is the baptism in water, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to cover that again. I did want to mention something to you in passing that is interesting. There is a program that is out right now. It's called The Chosen. Anybody familiar with that? Have you seen this program? There is an app, a channel that you can download if you have VidAngel or Apple TV or something like that. It's a channel called VidAngel. On VidAngel, they have put out a program right now called The Chosen. It is about the apostles. And I have to say, though it's a denominational outfit that has put it out, it is really, really good. I would say 98% of what they put in there is very, very good. They've just started the second season, and they're talking about the fact that here are the apostles, and they're following Jesus, and they are looking for a physical kingdom. They're preparing for a physical battle. They're thinking that the Messiah is going to be one who's going to have horses and swords and is going to fight. And so that's the mindset they have. It is very accurate to what you have in the Scriptures. So if you get a chance to watch The Chosen, not only is it very accurate to the Bible, I have found it's very entertaining. They've gone through one season. They're in the second season right now. Read your Bible, because there's some things in there that are not accurate, but most of it is very, very accurate. All right, we're going to pick up right now in verse number 6, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And if I can get Ben to start reading for us at that verse.
When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time again restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Okay, Jesus is gathered with his apostles at this point. He tells them, stay in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is going to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that at this point. And so they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now from that, we learn something about their thinking, and we learn a lot about the kingdom. Let me ask you the question. When they said to Jesus, will you restore the kingdom to Israel, what were they thinking? What were they expecting? What did they have in their minds? They're thinking a military kingdom. They're thinking a physical kingdom. They're thinking that Jesus is going to be an earthly king. And that's what I say this show, The Chosen, does a really good job of depicting that. You might remember in John chapter 6, they physically tried to take Jesus and make him a king. They are thinking back to the glory days of Solomon, and they're thinking this is going to be a great king. In fact, in this show, The Chosen, they talk about that, the glory days of Solomon. They're going to be like that again. Do you remember when Jesus is standing before Pilate, rewinding time a little bit? In John chapter 18 and verse 36, in fact, Ben probably just taught this. When he's standing before Pilate, what did Jesus say about his kingdom? My kingdom is not of this world. Had he already said to them, my kingdom is not of this world? Yes, he had already said that. In Mark chapter 10, verses 36 and 37, James and John go to Jesus, and they have a discussion. They're thinking, Lord, when you establish your kingdom, they wanted a special place for themselves. What did they ask Jesus? Yeah, when you establish your kingdom, can one of us be on the right hand and the other on the left? Does it work like that in the church? Does it work like that in the church? What were they thinking? The apostles are still thinking about a physical kingdom. Brethren, this is amazing to me. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. He has died. He has resurrected. He has told them, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is going to be the church. He is about to ascend back into heaven, and they still are thinking this is going to be a physical kingdom. That is amazing to me. It is very amazing to me, especially when you think about the fact the denominational world today, they still don't understand the nature of the kingdom. If you look at most of the denominational world today, they are expecting that Jesus is going to come, they would say soon, sometime in the near future. And what do they expect that Jesus is going to do when he returns? Okay, that's right. They say he's going to set up a physical kingdom based out of where? Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and they say he's going to reign for 1,000 years. You ever heard somebody talk about the 1,000-year reign? It's what they're talking about. They are still expecting a physical kingdom. All right, here's something else we get. When the apostles say to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Here's my question. Had the kingdom been set up yet? Had the kingdom of God been set up at this point in time? Not yet. Now, this is important. I learned the kingdom had not been set up yet. The apostles are saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom? The kingdom had not been set up in Acts chapter 1. Now, here's the next question. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the church. You remember in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said to Peter, I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Did the apostles understand that at this point? They did not. Absolutely not. Now, I want to go through some things with you that are very important about when the kingdom is going to be established. So, let's look at this. Oh, I'm going the wrong way here. This is the most confusing pointer. It always looks like it's going the opposite direction. All right, when was the kingdom established? Now, we're going to go through these verses. These would be very helpful to you, and then I'll tell you why in just a minute. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John was preaching, had the kingdom been set up yet? How far off was it, according to John? At hand. How soon is that going to be? I don't know. John said it's going to be at hand. All right? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus was preaching, had the kingdom been established? How soon was it? Soon. It's at hand. John said, it's soon. Jesus said, it's soon. Now let's really narrow this down, because in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, assuredly, I say unto you that there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom of God come with power. That narrows it down, doesn't it? When Jesus said the kingdom was coming, he had already said it's soon. John said it's soon. How soon is it going to be according to Jesus? Okay. Some of those within their lifetime, it was going to come. He said, some of you who are standing here will not die until the kingdom is going to come. Now, the denominational world will tell us the kingdom hasn't come yet. They say it's going to come in the near future. What do you say to that when you read what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1? Yeah, we got some old people, because he said, some of you will not taste of death until the kingdom has come. That means 2,000 years, these people are still walking around, and the kingdom hasn't come. Do you remember when Jesus gave the model prayer, and he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He goes through the whole prayer. One of the things he says in this prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come. Was that an appropriate thing for them to pray? Why? Because John had been preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus had been preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is it appropriate for us today to pray, thy kingdom come? No, not appropriate today. Why not? Jesus said, within the lifetime of some of those people, the kingdom was going to come. That means the kingdom came within. Let's narrow it down. If he said, some of you people standing here, the kingdom's going to come within your lifetime, what's the longest period you think that could have been? Three score and ten. You might make me do some math here. 70 years, that's 20, 40, 60, 80 years, 70 years. Okay, 70 years. You think at least within 70 years? Think it could have been longer than that? What's the longest a person can live? Okay, 120. Anybody know a person that's lived over 120 years? I heard a few years ago, the world record at that time was 121. That was a person who was current. In fact, it was an interesting story. The man was celebrating his 121st birthday. He was in the news, and it said his two younger brothers were present. One was 117, one was 114. Can you imagine having your younger brother at your party and he's 117 years old? That family's got some good genes is all I can say. But 121. So if they're standing there listening, they're probably at least 20 years old. That means the kingdom is going to come at least within 100 years. This is approximately 30 AD when Jesus said that. At least no later than 130 AD, the kingdom was going to be established. Let's keep going. Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, the kingdom is at hand. Matthew 4, 17, Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. Mark 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, some of you standing here will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom come. When we get to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 that we just read, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Had the kingdom come yet at that time? It had not come. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 that we're going to read in just a minute, Jesus said, go in Jerusalem and wait for the kingdom. What would that indicate to you? They said, has the kingdom come yet? And he says, go in Jerusalem and wait for the kingdom. Now, they've been saying it's at hand, it's at hand, it's at hand. It's going to come within your lifetime. And then he says, go in Jerusalem and wait for the kingdom. What would you expect? It's going to be coming. How long would you think? I would think it's going to be pretty soon. He's been saying soon, soon, soon. John's been preaching soon. He told his apostles to go out and preach soon. They said, Lord, is this the time? And he says, go in Jerusalem and wait. When you get to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, this is what Paul writes. He says, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son in whom we have redemption. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, we are in the kingdom. Listen to this one. In Revelation 1 and verse 9, John says, I am both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. By the time you get to the book of Colossians, you're talking about 30 years later, Paul said, I am in the kingdom. In the book of Revelation, which depending on most people fall into one category, they would put Revelation in the 60s, some people would put it 90. You're talking 30 to 60 years later, John said he's in the kingdom, and you've got Paul who said he's in the kingdom. Let's put all this together, and what do you have? What you've got is John said soon, Jesus said soon, Jesus said go in Jerusalem and wait for the kingdom. When you get to Colossians 1, John or Paul said, I'm in the kingdom. Revelation 1, John said, I am in the kingdom. What happened between Acts chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1? The kingdom came, right? The kingdom came during that time. I was having a study on one occasion with a Jehovah's Witness. Do you know what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the kingdom? You know what they call their church buildings? What do the Jehovah's Witnesses call their church building? They call it the Kingdom Hall. Do you know when they believe the kingdom was established? Anybody know? Kind of an off-the-wall date, but they believe that the kingdom of God was established in the year 1914. I was studying with the Jehovah's Witness on one occasion, and he was going through passages about the establishment of the kingdom, and so I stopped and I said, let's go through these verses. I went through the exact verses that I'm showing you right now. I said, John said the kingdom was coming soon. Jesus said the kingdom was coming soon. Jesus said it was going to come within the lifetime of these people. And then I got to Colossians 1 and verse 13, and I said, John said that he was in the kingdom. You said it didn't come till 1914. I said, how do you explain that? He was blown away. He said, I don't know about that. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to get somebody who is older and more experienced in this to come back and talk to you about this. They never came. You know why? This verse shows that they are wrong about this. These verses show that the denominational world is wrong about this when they say that the kingdom has not been established. Brethren, when we say the Lord's Prayer today, we can say all of it, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is great. We can pray everything in that prayer, but when we get to the part that says, thy kingdom come, we shouldn't pray that today because the kingdom has come. Now, I know a member of the church who said on one occasion, Don, when we say that, what we mean is, thy kingdom come into all the world. What we're praying for is the spread of the kingdom. Then you ought to pray for the spread of the kingdom. Don't get up and say something that sounds like you agree with the denominational world that leads people to think the kingdom hasn't come yet, because the kingdom is here. They need to know that the kingdom is the church. This is very important. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament for a minute. I know I'm hammering this, but you'll see why. When we get to Acts chapter 2, when we've laid the basis for all of this, it makes good sense. I want to go back to the Old Testament for just a minute. I keep going the wrong way with this thing. Go back to the Old Testament for a minute. This is Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Daniel prophesies years in advance. And this is because Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king and a heathen, has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has in the dream about this huge statue. And the statue has a head of gold and a chest of silver and a midsection of bronze and then legs of iron and then feet that are part iron and part clay. And then there's this huge stone in his dream. And it comes and crushes the statue and just makes it into dust. And then a wind comes and blows it all away. And Nebuchadnezzar wakes up and he says, I want to know what this dream means. And so eventually, I won't go through the whole story, but Daniel comes in and he says, I'm going to tell you what the dream means. He says, in the dream, the gold head represents Babylon. It represents you. You are the mighty king. And he says, then the next section is going to represent the kingdom that comes after you. It's not as good. And so this kingdom is the Medo-Persian kingdom. And then after that, there's another kingdom. This is still not as good. This is going to be the Greek kingdom. It's bronze. Then you've got the next kingdom. It's going to be iron. It's a strong, powerful kingdom. It's the Roman Empire. And then Daniel 2:44, he says this, in the days of these kings will the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it will break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel makes a prophecy about the church way back hundreds of years before the church is established. Now, this is important because Daniel, as he talks about these empires, he says, you are the Babylonian Empire, then there's going to be another, and then in this third kingdom, in the days of these kings, which kings? Which kings is he talking about when he says these kings? He's talking about the Roman Empire. He prophesies in the days of the Roman Empire, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now let's go back and put this together, what we've got so far. John was preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 9, he said it's going to come within your lifetime. Some of you are going to see it. Acts chapter 1, he says, go in Jerusalem and wait for the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, or before we get there, insert Daniel chapter 2. What happens? Daniel said, in the days of the Roman Empire, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, I'm in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 1, John said, I am in the kingdom. What does that mean? Brethren, we can narrow this down. We can take this. We can prove to people when they say Jesus is coming to set up a kingdom on this earth, that's not true. Kingdom's already come. The kingdom is here. We don't pray, thy kingdom come today, because it's here. You can go through these things and show it. All right, any questions or comments about that? All right, let's go to the next one then. Let's go to the next verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 7.
And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power.
Okay. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time you're going to set up the kingdom? Jesus' response to them is this. It's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has set in his own authority. What's Jesus' answer to their question? Okay. He says, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, that's what it amounts to. Lord, is this the time? He says, it's not for you to know. It's in the Father's authority. Isn't it interesting? They're still thinking about a physical kingdom. Jesus doesn't even try to explain that right now. Jesus just says, I'm not going to answer this. It's interesting to me that God doesn't answer all of our questions. You know, there's a passage that I refer to in the Old Testament. Sometimes you'll hear preachers reference it. Deuteronomy 29:29. Anybody know what that says? That's right. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us. What does that mean? The secret things belong unto the Lord? That means there's some things God just hasn't told us. We don't know. We don't need to know. There's a lot of things I read in the Bible and I wonder about. And I wish God had told us, I don't need to know. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. You can remember that when you come across some of these passages. The disciples said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know. When is the Lord going to come again? That's right. I hear somebody say it. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you about the kingdom. 5 minutes, right? Okay. 10 minutes? Just five. Okay. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth.
Okay. There's a lot in this verse. They said, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said, it's not for you to know. He said, but you go in Jerusalem and wait. Now listen to this verse very carefully. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall receive power. That's important. Number one, he says, you shall receive power. Who is the you? The apostles. How do you know that? Could you prove this? He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Brethren, this is very important that you get this, because when you get to the next chapter and the Holy Spirit comes as a rushing mighty wind, the denominational world will tell you that the Holy Spirit fell upon all of the disciples, all 120 who were there. Jesus says here, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You can take the word you, which is a pronoun. You go back grammatically and you find the antecedent to the pronoun. What is the antecedent? That is the noun that a pronoun refers to. You can follow it back and you can see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, he's talking about the apostles. Verse number 4, the apostles were assembled. Verse 5, there's a promise of the Holy Spirit given to the apostles. Acts chapter 6, the apostles ask a question. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, You shall receive power. Who's the you? It's the apostles. The apostles are going to receive power. Here's the second word I want you to get. He says, you, the apostles, shall receive power. Why is that important? Do you remember in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, Assuredly I say unto you, there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom come with what? With power. He said the kingdom is going to come with power. He told them, go in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And he says, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Brethren, the kingdom was going to come when the power came. He said, go in Jerusalem and wait for the power. He told them, you're going to see the kingdom come with power. You can show the kingdom came in Acts chapter 2 when the power came. That's why prior to Acts chapter 2, they always said, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is at hand. After Acts chapter 2, they always talk about the kingdom being in existence because the kingdom came with power. All right? First, you refers to the apostles. Secondly, it's going to come with power. That's what the kingdom was going to come with. And then thirdly, he says, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That's an important word. He says to the apostles, you're going to be witnesses. What is a witness? Person tells a story. A story of what? The truth? Something they have seen. Can you be a witness of something that you weren't there for? Today in the denominational world, in the religious world, it's very popular for people to talk about, I witnessed to this person. What do they mean when they say that? Have you witnessed anybody today? Can you be a witness to someone today? Brethren, when the denominational world, they say, I witnessed to them. I witnessed to them about Jesus. That is not a biblical term today. I can't witness to anyone. Biblically, Jesus says to the apostles, you shall be witnesses unto me. Listen what Acts 10 and verse 40 says. It says about Christ, God raised him up on the third day, and he showed him openly. Listen, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. The apostles said, not everyone are witnesses. Only specific people are witnesses. The ones who were with him and ate with him and drank with him and saw him after the resurrection. The Bible defines what a witness is, Acts 10, 40 and 41. I can't walk around today and say that I'm a witness because I'm not a witness. I don't go out and witness to people. I don't give my testimony to people today. I am not a witness. What do? I go out and teach the gospel. I go out and show people the truth, but I don't say that I witness. I know the bell rang. Several years ago, and it may still be around, there's a company called Witnessware. And what this company was you could buy a t-shirt that had something religious, and it usually, there was one I remember, there's a guy, is Jesus doing push-ups, and he had the cross on his back, and it said, bench press this, or something like that. It was Witnessware. Brethren, I hate that kind of stuff. It is so irreverent. We need to be careful what we wear when it comes to things like that. And we need to treat holy things in a holy way. We're not witnesses today. The Bible says those who are witnesses. All right, that's three very important things. One more thing I got to say very fast. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the outline of the book of Acts. The gospel goes into Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the outline as you trace the book. And that's where we'll go from there. All right, we'll pick up on verse number 9 next week. Thank you. Appreciate your participation.